Welcome to your Market Week recap on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Chloe Wadd, taking a look back at this week's market action. USDA's August crop production and supply and demand reports offered a supportive outlook for corn and soybeans. Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops says lower yields were largely offset by larger planted acreage, but demand is still expected to outpace production.
They've lowered corn yields from 183 last month down to 180.7, which would be a fairly sizable adjustment, but they also came in with larger than expected planted acres. And that acreage number shifted the total production to about 16.13 billion bushels. So our acreage went from 95.3 up to 96.7. Now, I think the thing that really jumps out here is our production is 16.01 billion bushels. And our total demand is 16.33. We are outpacing enough production this year. We can't even meet our demands.
Global grain production faced pressure in Europe and Ukraine. France expects total grain production to fall 5.2% from last year, with corn production down 35%. Ukraine cut its 2026-2027 grain export forecast 8.6% as Russian attacks disrupt Black Sea shipping. Less grain reaching the world market could reduce competition for U.S. corn and wheat and provide some support for export demand. AgMarket.net market analyst Jacob Burks says Ukrainian attacks on Russian export infrastructure are beginning to have a greater impact on grain trade.
Where we saw Ukraine drone attacks attack the ports there in Russia, that a significant amount of their export wheat comes out of, wheat grain. Over there has been a big factor with the EU and some of that demand not being satisfied with their own drought situation that they have there. You got the Black Sea region that have still continued to have battles that have been depleted. I mean, they're hitting where it counts now. They're hitting where the ports, and they're fighting economically through some of that. So that has been a major factor. We haven't seen that move the market since the thing first started. And now they're getting pretty discreet there.
Burke says the livestock markets remain under pressure as weaker box beef values weigh on cash cattle trade.
Yeah, you're seeing significant moves in the cash. I think a lot of this comes with we posted some bids around 230 yesterday in the cash. They got passed, but it feels like that show list is pretty heavy this week. Cash is kind of trending a little bit lower, and we've just seen enough weakness here as we have just deteriorated the box beef side on the demand. It's allowed the packers to kind of back bids off a little bit.
The USDA crop production numbers were considered positive for corn, bearish for soybeans, and neutral for wheat. The national average corn yield is 180.7 bushels per acre. That compares to an average pre-report trade estimate of 182.5 bushels an acre. Soybean yields were close to trade expectations at 52.7 bushels per acre. New crop corn ending stocks were below the average trade guess, and soybean ending stocks were higher than expected, while U.S. wheat ending stocks were close to expectations. Oil prices are climbing again as hopes fade for a quick reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. Some analysts say a prolonged closure of the Strait of Hormuz could eventually push crude oil prices into the $120 to $140 per barrel range if global inventories continue to tighten. And that wraps up this week's Market Week recap with the Red River Farm Network.
Hey, sugar beet growers, visit your Amity Technology dealer. Make your best deal on the already discounted Amity sugar beet cart and get a $10,000 credit for Amity parts. The sugar beet cart from Amity is a field-proven solution engineered for all field conditions. You'll keep going when others have to slow down or stop. Find your dealer at amitytech.com and snag that $10,000 parts credit with your purchase of the 35-ton Amity sugar beet cart.
World Weather Incorporated senior meteorologist Drew Lerner is your trusted source for agricultural weather. From the Northern Plains,
we do expect some showers to develop and a couple of thunderstorms. The majority of the meaningful rain, though, is going to be in southern Canada.
To South America,
Buenos Aires, La Pampa, and Cordoba, but it doesn't occur until we get into next week, leaving plenty of time for changes in the forecast.
Drew Lerner, only on the Red River Farm Network. We're reporting agriculture's business.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network Week of News Recap. The U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve has fallen below 300 million gallons for the first time since the early 1980s. Global oil supplies are being pinched by the ongoing war with Iran and the lack of movement through the Strait of Hormuz. Minnesota continues to look for opportunities to grow agricultural exports, from agricultural markets like Canada and Mexico to expanding demand overseas. Minnesota Agriculture Commissioner Tom Peterson says those relationships remain important for the state's farmers and agribusinesses.
Well, just really excited to, you know, continue to our big markets are Mexico and Canada. So always looking at, you know, what can we do there? And then, of course, really watching the soybean purchases in China. And I do think that that's going to start moving. But for example, this week we had a trade group, a buyer's group from Taiwan. And they actually did a purchase while they were here of Minnesota soybeans. And so that was really excited to spend time with them, get them. They really wanted to see our barges on the river and how that moved too. And so really helpful. But other markets that we're seeing, ethanol to Canada, big thing right now.
President Trump has issued another 90-day waiver from the Jones Act. This regulation requires shipping conducted between U.S. ports to be done by American ships. The waiver was granted in an attempt to lower oil and gas prices. Trade with Canada and Mexico was a key focus at the Midwest Agricultural Export Summit. South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson said USMCA remained a strong agreement with opportunities to continue strengthening relationships with two of the country's most important trading partners. Senate Majority Leader John Thune echoed that message, saying there is a lot at stake as trade discussions continue and strong North American trade relationships remain important moving forward.
We obviously have a lot at stake in getting this resolved in a way that continues to strengthen that relationship and build it even stronger going forward. So I hope, sincerely hope, that the USTR Ambassador Greer can have some success in working with our Canadian counterparts to strike a deal that would enable this to continue in a way that our country benefits and this entire hemisphere benefits as well. So it's a work in progress, but I'm like Dusty, a big believer in how effective that trade relationship has been, that agreement has been, and frankly, like to see more of those.
The clock is ticking on U.S.-Canada trade negotiations. Canadian officials met with U.S. Trade Representative Jamieson Greer Tuesday as the two countries try to reach a deal before an August 19th tariff deadline. President Trump has proposed 50% tariffs on nearly $20 billion in Canadian imports. Canada is a major customer for the U.S. agriculture, making talks important for farmers and ranchers. Additional tariffs could disrupt established trade flows, increase costs, and affect demand for U.S. agricultural products. It was the third meeting between the U.S. and Canadian trade officials in 3 weeks. Farmers are getting more time to pay their crop insurance premiums. The Risk Management Agency is allowing insurance providers to give producers up to an additional 60 days to make payments on policies with billing dates from July 1st through September 30th. RMA Administrator Pat Swanson says the move recognizes the financial pressure facing agriculture.
You know, this was an opportunity for us to really look at what farmers are going through right now. There's been a lot of challenges across the country with different weather events and, you know, just giving them the flexibility to be able to wait on that payment for just a few more days. So I think just our opportunity to help farmers when we can.
That wraps up this week's Red River Farm Network Week of News Recap. I'm Chloe Wadd reporting Agriculture's Business.
Boost your crop's health with Domark 230 ME and Badge SC fungicide exclusively from Gowan USA. Domark's systemic action teams up with Badge's outstanding mixing properties for unbeaten disease control on sugar beets and dried edible beans. Experience the power of two different modes of action with Domark and Badge. Don't wait. Contact your local ag retailer and ask about Domark 230 ME and Badge SC. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan USA.
Listen for the Dry Bean Scene every Friday right here on the Red River Farm Network. Brought to you by Johnstown Bean Company, Gowan Company, Heads Up Crop Protectants, North Harvest Bean Growers Association, and SRS Commodities. We're keeping you updated on this year's dry bean crop and the issues impacting the world of edible beans. The Dry Bean Scene, heard every Friday at 12:35. It can be found on the Red River Farm Network website as well. the Dry Bean Scene on the Red River Farm Network.
You are listening to the Red River Farm Network Weekend Weather Recap, and my name is Clubby Wad. It was another active August week across the Northern Plains, with a mix of warm summer temperatures, scattered thunderstorms, and pockets of rainfall across North Dakota, Minnesota, and South Dakota. While some areas picked up needed moisture, rainfall remained uneven, leaving plenty of variability across the region. Despite a hot, dry growing season, North Dakota's potato crop is holding together. NDSU Extension potato agronomist Andy Robertson says irrigated acres are faring better than non-irrigated fields in the Red River Valley, but insect pressure has also remained relatively light.
Yeah, so as far as insects go, we always have our Colorado potato beetles, which can be a challenge. They don't seem to have been really bad yet this year. The aphid numbers, which are more important for our seed growers and transmitting viruses, is what they can do. That's why they're more important for them to be concerned about. We actually had pretty low aphid movements while it was pretty hot in the 90s. Aphids don't like that hot weather. But these last couple of weeks, the weather's cooled down a little bit. The grains are starting to ripen, so we're getting a bit more aphid movement right now. So for seed growers, they're having to keep an eye on that.
Tim Broughton, who farms at Daisy in East Central North Dakota, says the heat has pushed the maturity of these crops.
Right now, where we got moisture, they look very good. Where it was a little drier, where they're a little stressed or spotted, then they aren't quite as good. But I think we're quite fortunate considering how dry it's been.
According to the weekly USDA crop progress report that came out, 62% of the soybeans are in good to excellent condition. That's down 1%. USDA ag meteorologist Brad Rippey says the corn conditions were left unchanged.
Now, with the cooler weather moving into the Midwest in early August, that at least arrested the crop condition slide that we had been seeing during the month of July. This week, we are sitting steady at 61% good to excellent, 14% very poor to poor. So after a couple of weeks with declines, we have kind of flattened down a little bit there. Compared to a year ago, though, it is a much lower rated crop. We were sitting at 72% good to excellent this time in August of 2025, and just 7% very poor to poor.
This summer's combination of extreme heat and persistent drought is creating concerns beyond the current growing season. DTN meteorologist John Baranek says July set a modern day heat record.
If you can believe government statistics, I'll say that, July 2026 is the hottest year on record, which does eclipse that July in the Dust Bowl of 1936. It's hard to compare those kinds of years, and we didn't have a whole lot of reporting stations back then, almost 100 years ago. But, you know, despite that, I mean, it's been an extremely hot year for a lot of areas, specifically the plains. We've had a lot of 100-degree temperatures, and that stretch in July was absolutely brutal. I remember seeing temperatures up to over 110 degrees in western South Dakota, into Montana, I think even western North Dakota.
Looking ahead, Baranek says weather patterns will continue to be driven by a very strong El Nino. Missouri River runoff remains well below normal as drought conditions continue across much of the basin. The U.S. Army Corps and engineers say July runoff above Sioux City totaled 2 million acre feet, or just 61% of average. Looking ahead, the weather pattern remains active across the northern plains, with more chances for scattered showers and thunderstorms across North Dakota, Minnesota, and South Dakota. Temperatures will stay seasonably warm, with rainfall continuing to vary across the region. That wraps up this week's weather recap. I'm Chloe Wad with the Red River Farm Network.
The Prairie Grains Conference in Grand Forks, always a must on the winter schedule. Trade show exhibit space and sponsorship opportunities are now available. Sponsors are highlighted at the conference and in Prairie Grains Magazine. New in 2026, Minnesota Wheat has a rapid-fire product launch showcase. Your company can highlight your new products at the Prairie Grains General Session. To lock in a sponsorship or for more info, contact Corrine Burdall at Minnesota Wheat. That's mnwheat.org, mnwheat.org.
One headline can move the grain markets. One storm can change a crop. One policy decision can impact every producer in America. Farm broadcasters Don Wick, Jamie Dickerman, and Chloe Wad deliver trusted farm news farmers can depend on. Fast, accurate, connected to the issues that matter most. Farming and ranching is a bottom-line business, and they treat it that way. The Red River Farm Network is reporting agriculture's business.